Our present lecture is on growth in the faith. Remember the outline that we covered for our classes last week. And now, as we enter the subject of the re-evangelization of America, and having first outlined the need for this re-evangelization, then we began to speak of the ways in which we who have the faith are to re-evangelize our nation. And the first of those ways is to understand our faith. Am I clear? So our first class was on the need for re-evangelization. Now we will begin. Each class will be spent on one way in which we are to engage in this evangelization. And here it is, by growing in our faith through understanding what we believe. We first ask ourselves why. Why go into the subject? In other words, why talk about growth in the faith through understanding the faith? Let me tell you, the moment you get into doctrine or theology, the same words can be used that we use in other areas, but the meaning had better be clear. You're talking about growing in the faith. What does growth mean? Does it get bigger? More husky? More heavy? The first way we grow in our faith is by understanding our faith more deeply, more clearly, more intelligibly. Why? First reason. Because otherwise we lose, or at least we risk the loss of our faith. We have no option. Either we grow in our faith or we lose it. That is why, and the record in our country has been mind-boggling. Millions of once believing Catholics, by the time they finished even high school or college, and the more academically educated they became, the more their faith was on trial. Their minds were just not equipped to cope. You cannot go through even an ordinary undergraduate program in college without having everything you believe as a Catholic challenged, questioned, unless that same mind with which you believe is trained correspondingly to understand on the same mental level that you've grown in your understanding of, say, secular sciences. No choice. The mind cannot cope. In my 5-year tenure at Western Michigan University, an experiment of the Society of Jesus, whether a Jesuit can survive at a state university teaching as a Catholic priest. And the answer is no. Because by the third semester, they found out that Dr. Harden, that was my alias, was a challenge to Western Michigan University. By the third semester, all the classrooms in Western Michigan were too small for the size of enrollment. So we had to use one of the school auditoriums. Then there were faculty meetings for my benefit. To our meeting. We've got a problem. you are so, and then certain choice adjectives. You are so blank, blank, sure of yourself. And the poor dears, they knew that I was a match for them intellectually. They never seen that before. So I lasted 5 years, wrote a book about my experiences. I can recommend it. The Hungry Generation. Get a copy. I really want to know whether it's in the Western Michigan University Library. That'll be something. If it is, can I ask somebody to please donate a copy? Either we grow in our faith or we lose it. Second reason, why go into the subject? Because we are living in the most educated society in human history. And we cannot become, Catholic, schizophrenics. Trying to believe with one side of our personality as Catholics and have a PhD, my favorite pronunciation, PhD, in some secular subject. We become schizoid. And either go into protective custody or you lose your faith. Don't lose it. It's kid stuff. Third reason, because there is so much learned opposition to the Catholic faith. It was supposed to read. And as we know, there is no longer an index of forbidden books. By the way, if I may just announce certain things, if anybody would be interested, I'll make copies. If we need more, we can always get them. And what is the present status on forbidden books? Would you be interested?
Yes.
There are certain norms to follow. You can't just read anything. Because if you read certain things, you're endangering your faith. Your mind has got to be equipped to cope. Imagine some amateur going into a boxing match with a professional. It would last 2 rounds. And the spectators would ask for the money back. You follow the logic. If you were to read, and I read so many of them, my favorite readings, the heretics, I love them. And the more learned, the better. The bigger the words, the better I like it. Some people not quite sure what they say, so they use a big word. Oh. But if you're going to read those who attack the church, you better be able to cope with that kind of a mind. Fourth reason, because there are so many who are giving up their Catholic faith. And we don't need more casualties. There are piles and piles of dead bodies among believing Catholics. Fifth reason, because there are so many who had become Catholic if only they understood the Catholic faith. We have the duty to share this with the people who need to understand. Like, for example, the woman lawyer that I'm instructing at the university takes time off from her business to get instructions. 11 to 12 on Wednesday mornings. A few days before I asked, I found out, I was shocked, but I saw the bills that a friend of mine got from the lawyer that he was consulting. 4 lawyers in on the case. One charged $200 an hour, one charged $150 an hour, one charged $100 an hour, and one must have been an amateur. He charged only $65 an hour. So I said, Patty, we began our instruction last Wednesday. Pat, what do you charge? Oh, she said, my regular fee is only $140 an hour. So I said, Pat, you want my fee? You pray for me. That'd be the day I charged somebody to pay me money for sharing the faith. But they're educated people. And she would have become a Catholic, I think, years ago. But these are educated people. You've got to talk their language. I've even got a sixth reason. Because there is so much strength provided by the faith, provided it is understood. There are two kinds of people in the world, all kinds of classification you can make. One of my favorites is the cowards and the martyrs. The cowards and the martyrs. Now, a coward is one, of course, who is afraid, gives in. Martyr is one who stands firm, here for the faith. Well, standing firm doesn't mean just standing firm on your two feet. Standing firm is not even just fortitude in the will. You need a strong mind. And we're not playing with words. A strong mind is a convinced mind. But a convinced mind must be an educated mind. And without even a second thought. That's why we're here, right? That's what you're coming on. On a Sunday, thanks for coming. I didn't realize we've got class every Sunday in October. Did you know that? Well, I'll be here. But you better be here too. And bring your friends. What's our plan for this lecture? Cover three areas. Remember what we're talking about. Growth in the faith through understanding the faith. Number one, the teaching of Christ on understanding the faith. Second, what does it mean to grow in the faith? And third, how? How do you grow in the faith? First, then, the teaching of Christ. May I commend to all of you, over the years, I must have recommended this 1,000 times to audiences and classes. Read chapter 13 of St. Matthew's Gospel. Christ is telling the parable of the seed and the grower who went out to sow his seed. All good seed. It fell on 4 different kinds of ground. The pathway, rocky ground, thorny ground, and good soil. Then Christ explains. The pathway that symbolizes the seed that falls along the hard pathway, the birds of the air. By the way, they're shrewd. Keep an eye on their, on the pathways. So, come along and have a feast. Now, when Christ explains who are those symbolized by the seed falling on the pathway, they are those who fail to understand the Word of God. And therefore, this is Christ saying, therefore the devil comes along and steals the Word of God from their hearts. That's why we're losing millions of over-educated Americans. Why over-educated? Because they are over-educated for their knowledge or understanding of the faith. A college education is great. I got one myself. And they entered the Society of Jesus. Now, would you believe it? 15 more years afterwards, more education. It's out of your ears. Education is great. But the person who gets a good education had better keep pace academically in growing, deepening his understanding of what he believes. Otherwise, the mind, the genius of a St. Augustine will be thrown aside, and somebody will pick up Hemingway. Both describe sin, but what a difference. Now, there are many reasons for the faith not producing fruit. But the first, remember, this is Christ talking, the most fundamental reason why people give up the Catholic faith is they are stupid. They don't know what the Catholic faith is. They are dumb. That's spelled D-U-M-B. And the most pathetic people are the educated ignoramuses. They can teach in college classrooms, I know. But as far as the faith is concerned, they're like little babes. And this is why the devil, how clever the devil is. Look what he did to our 200 plus once Catholic colleges and universities. This is my life. That's what Ignatius did in the 16th century. That's what we need in the 20th and surely the 21st century. Catholics were thoroughly, totally intelligent. Of course they know the secular world. My doctorate studies in science. Finished my graduate studies in psychology. But that's not enough. The faith must be understood. Then the three other kinds of soil. The rocky, that means troubles or opposition. And you notice the focus in our present lecture. We're not going to talk about the rocky soil, the thorns, get it? We're talking about number one, by just to see a word, about the other three kinds of soil. The rocky soil, those are the ones who find trouble or opposition, so they cave in. Opposition. We need it. We should thrive on opposition. And believe me, I don't have to ask for it. And the third fruitless kind of soil, the thorns. In other words, the cares or the worries of this world or the little riches. And riches can be either monetary or political or social. Take a governor like Governor Cuomo. He sold his faith. He sold his faith. Summa cum laude graduate from the same university where I taught. Very intelligent man. He sold his faith. Why? Because he wants to remain in political power. And I hope Governor Cuomo would see this tape. We'd have just a wonderful dialogue. Or people with money. And the more money a person has, the harder it is to remain a good, strong, believing Catholic. You got to do something with that money. What names I can mention, and what stories I could tell about rich people. What they've got to do to keep the faith. And finally, there is a good soil. Now, as I've said over the years, change one letter in the word soil and spell it S-O-U-L. There are four kinds of soil, otherwise known as soil, into which the Word of God falls. And only the last kind of soil, otherwise known as soil, produces fruit. Now, what is good about that soil? Well, it doesn't belong to the first class. It understands what it believes. It doesn't mind troubles or opposition, expects them. In fact, if you don't have troubles or opposition as a Catholic, you might examine your conscience on how strong a Catholic you are. Or you are too immersed in the things of this world. And then remarkably, you would think our Lord would have stopped four kinds of soil. And the last is the good soil. Produces abundant fruit? No. Some soil, good soil, produces 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. How come? All good soil. Are there any farmers in class? Anybody with a farm? Well, as Adam, I'm sure you know, even though you are not in the profession of agriculture, that it's not just good soil and good seed. There are many other factors. You know, the rain, the weather, even where, say, the seed falls, gets either more or less of the sunshine. And consequently, those differences in productivity of all good soil, the Church tells us, depends on the grace of God. It does depend on us, on the soil, but it also depends on God. And 10 people receive the same faith in all sincerity, try to cooperate with the grace of God. But some become obviously better, more firm, holy Catholics than others. Some become even saints. And others have problems even, well, staying awake in prayer. Oh, by the way, you know Teresa Lisieux, you know she fell asleep during her prayers? Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Especially in saying the rosary. Isn't that comforting? But, in the last analysis, how we benefit from our faith, and we must cooperate to the limit of our ability. In the last analysis, it depends on the grace of God. God simply gives some people more grace, different kinds of grace than others. And of course, the secret is not to envy those who obviously are more holy than me. By the way, you're making progress. Anytime you begin to compare other people's holiness with yours, and you put yourself lower than them, that's already progress. That's the first step on the road to sanctity, to know that you're not a saint. That's number one. Number two, what does it mean to grow in the faith? To answer that question, we've got to ask, what is faith? Faith is the ascent of the mind. Remember, ascent? Ascent of the mind to everything that God has revealed on His Word, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. That's faith. We accept or assent with our minds to what God has revealed because He said so, not because we can comprehend why or how what He tells us is true. Thus we believe in the Incarnation, the infallible teaching of the Church, the indissolubility of marriage. Oh, pray that those leading the Church might not weaken in the infallible teaching of Christ that sacramental consummated marriage is indissolvable. As a member of the Rota in Rome told me, as a court of last appeal for marriage cases at the Vatican, he was in charge of the marriage case in the United States. Our problem with America is there are so many who have lost their faith in the indissolubility of sacramental marriage. All the names I could give. Pray. We believe in the Church's teaching on sexual morality. We believe that homosexuality is a grave sin. And this in spite of bishops saying the contrary. The bishops are dead. That's D-E-A-D. Dead wrong. No wonder there's confusion among the faithful when so many, at least enough, of those who should be leaders have become misleaders. We believe in the real presence. And Jesus Christ, the same one who Mary gave birth to in Bethlehem, is on earth in our midst. Believe in the sacrament of confession. That human beings ordained by Christ from the apostles have the power of absolving from sin. We believe it. We believe in the power of prayer. Of course, God knows everything. He doesn't have to be told what we need, but He wants us to tell Him that we're in need. And the only way we genuflect or bend our knees is it might first have bent our wills. It's all bending the knees is all about. I bend my stubborn will and admit, Lord, I can't do it. I need your help. If I don't admit that I'm helpless, I won't get the help. We believe in the existence of life after death. As I told the Michigan Right to Life people in Lansing, they called me up a few days before to make sure I'd show up for the lecture on Saturday. Said, I want to stay overnight at the hotel, because it was a breakfast at 7:30, then some songs, and I was supposed to give a lecture. I said, no, I'll be there in the morning. But then I told the lady, now, lady, you know, I'm a Catholic. And, of course, I want to speak as a Catholic priest. Oh, she says, I'm not sure you should do that because so many will be there who are not Catholic. So, typical. My Jesuit training, I didn't use the word Catholic once. Every sentence could have been quoted from Pope John Paul II. I spoke on chastity as the foundation for the pro-life movement. Either we become a nation that still believes in chastity, or we'll just increase our murders. Oh, life after death is not just pro-life in this world. I ask people, do you want to stay in this life indefinitely? They tell me yes. I know they got problems, mental difficulties. Then we ask ourselves, what does it mean to grow? To grow in our faith means, and then I've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 ways in which we grow in our faith. Even as I'm looking at the clock, looking at my notes, we may have to, if it's all right, stop at some judicious point, answer questions, then continue next week. To grow with the faith means that we make our faith more. Don't even make it. We work at it. Make our faith more. What? Number one, more intelligible. Makes more sense. Secondly, by making our faith more clear, more distinct. We know one idea from another. We make our faith more certain. In other words, we become more determined not to let go of our faith. We're more sure of ourselves. Like my friends at Western Michigan, Harney, you are so blankety-blank sure of yourself. I don't... What's the problem when you've got the tooth? So, I don't see the problem. So they brought cases of beer and spent the rest of the evening enlightening them about the true faith. They asked for it. Number four. We go in our faith by making our faith more accurate. In other words, we can know the faith, but you got to be more precise, more correct. Number five. We make our faith more defensible. We can stand up for our faith. And not only not run away from opposition, we welcome it. They almost see you go to opposition. So, more defensible. Number six. Our faith becomes more consistent with reason. There is nothing, in other words, there is nothing in our Catholic faith which contradicts reason. Nothing. If it seems to contradict reason, either what the person calls a reason is not true, or the person does not understand the faith. But you better understand it. Number seven. Our faith becomes more definite. That's why we speak of the church defining. We can put a fence around our faith. Clear, specific, definite. Not wobbly. Oh, by the way, the masters of confused teaching are the Anglicans. Just geniuses. In other words, they've used the English language by now for, well, going on 500 years ever since Henry VIII, remember, discarded his lawful wife. So, they try to appear, some even, as though they're Catholic. Even, you know, a group of Anglicans called Anglo-Catholics. The words they can use, but they're just not precise, not definite. Do you believe in Christ's divinity? Yes, I do. Then you can spend the next 2 hours finding out what they mean by the divinity of Christ. You find they don't really believe that Christ is the living God, who therefore is infinite, all wise, all knowing, all good, and yet a real man. You don't try to combine those two. You can't. It's a mystery. How the same person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, can be a real man. And we've got these idiotic, blasphemous films and books. That's the last temptation. We grow in our faith by making our faith, is this number 8, more communicable. That means you learn the vocabulary that other people need so you can talk to them. You can use big words. Hypostatic. So what's hypostatic? You know, people use the word hypostatic. They don't know themselves. So I know from my own Jesuit students whom I examined. You push them. You know how to spell the word. So, communicable. You know how to talk the language of those with whom you are speaking. Number 9. It is more reasonable. Now this is more than just consistent with reason. In other words, you can show yourself and prove to others that you're standing on the solid rock of reason. So that if a person does not have the Catholic faith, that person has not fully used his reason. I mean it. Reason used logically will lead to the Catholic faith. Number 10. Growing in faith, making more acceptable. Now this is the hard one, because the faith, as we know, is not only to be believed with the mind, it's also to be lived with the will, that people will accept the Church's teaching, especially in the moral order. Which means then that I realize that just to know what I'm supposed to do is not enough. I must also have the light and strength to live up to what I know is my duty. Then, number 11, we grow in our faith by making our faith more satisfying, enjoyable. How's that? Look, being a Catholic is good business. There's mazuma. There's profit. There's satisfaction. And finally, growing in our faith means making our faith more workable. It can be put to use in everything we do. In other words, we go on our faith as we begin to grow in our faith 168 hours a week. Am I correct? 24 times 7, 168? Some people are living their faith like maybe 35 minutes a week. You know what to do with their faith. Put up more holy pictures in your room or see more prayers. Maybe that too. No. Everything in our lives is to be interwoven with our faith. It is also 22. What if I do this? Are there any questions?
We still have more time on the tape if you want to continue on.
Yeah.
We have more time on the tape
if you want to go on.
Can I take more time?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I can take more. How much more?
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
But then you go beyond our allotted time. Yeah. Well, look, what if we do this? You're asking for it. We'll continue with this, but then let me go. So you have some questions, don't you? So let me do this. Let me go for 25 minutes on this. And then, meantime, any questions you might have? So our next area is how to grow in the faith. The first and most important way of growing in the faith is by living our faith. What are we saying? We are saying seven things. And by the way, I found over the years, by counting things, it keeps the mind separate. One is not two, two is not three, and so on. Number one. We live our faith by putting it to practice. In other words, our faith is not only, even though we believe with the mind, the faith is not to remain in the mind. Number two, and these are, illustrations or examples of how we put our faith into practice. Number two, we believe that prayer is necessary. So we pray. So we pray more frequently. So we pray more fervently. And I think this is a very safe statement. You could be not only the number that are here, you could be 1,000 or 10,000. I'd say the same thing. All of us should pray more and pray more frequently. All of us, beginning with the speaker. We need it. Otherwise, our faith is in jeopardy. Number three, we believe in the Holy Eucharist. So, we attend Mass more often. I might have done it at Mass, but maybe do it now. I would ask all of you, if you possibly can, go to Mass tomorrow, the 500th anniversary of the true faith being brought to the New World. I couldn't think of a better way to thank God. We believe in the Holy Eucharist, so we attend Mass more often. And this is pray. Pray for bishops. Pray for priests. One dies after another, one parish after another. Daily Masses are becoming less and less frequent. And even there is at least one diocese. May God forgive the bishop. Please, God, it won't take effect if either should be only one Mass a week on Sunday. Pray for the successors of the apostles. So, believing in the Eucharist, we pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Because twice, the same Jesus that worked miracles in Palestine in the first century wants to work miracles, well, in Michigan of the 20th century. But we've got to profess our faith in Him as being here. He worked the miracles. We believe in the Holy Eucharist, so we receive Holy Communion more often. And whenever we can, twice a day. Provided the second time, we have gone to Mass.